Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Every week, another glossy flyer comes to the church or to my house from some company wanting me to buy their program or to enroll in their class or to use their advertising or buy their pens, all to grow your church. Triple the congregation's giving, one claims. Become a more effective leader. Unite the members through text messaging. There are helpful lists included, like 3 reasons people aren't giving to the church anymore. 5 of the biggest mistakes every administrative pastor makes. 10 great sermon illustrations. And 40 days to a healthier church. Just buy our program, and it'll all work for you. But all these mailings have one thing in common, and it's not a good thing. None of them mentions God's word. Grow your church, as if it really is your church anyway, with God's word. Nope. Increase giving, become a more effective leader, learn how to send engaging texts from God's word. Nope. Well, maybe they don't mention God's word because his word doesn't think or talk like they think and talk about the things that they are selling. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's Christ's church. I don't grow his church, and neither do you. He does, by his Holy Spirit, through his word. On this rock I will build my church, Jesus says, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Godly giving to the work of his church is not a matter of good marketing or manipulation. It is a matter of living an active faith. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has made up his mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. I'm wondering if we're about to have a fire. A little different kind of Pentecost today. Not planned at all. Thank you for catching it. I saw the concern quickly. Where was I? A cheerful giver. There we are. It is God himself who takes and gathers and forms pastors, not using the ways of the business world, but using his ways. He gathers members together to receive his words, not using the ways of the world, enticement and gimmicks, but again, only his word. He unites his church in himself. I bet you can guess where all those mailings end up. But we should talk about what it is that really grows Christ's church. Everyone knows there is a need for the people to hear the gospel. So what is it that does that work? When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. As we confess in the 3rd article of the Creed, it is the Holy Spirit that Jesus sends to us from his Father that does the work of calling, gathering, enlightening, and sanctifying, of keeping this Christian church in the Christian faith. All his work, not yours, not a business model, not a gimmick, not a fancy pen that has our name on it. Pentecost is the day that teaches us how the church has grown and how God does it. Pentecost is the day that the Holy Spirit that Jesus poured and breathed out and loosed on the world at his crucifixion comes and alights on the apostles publicly for the purpose of preaching the gospel to the whole world. This is the 50th day after Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It's 10 days after his ascension into heaven. It is the beginning of Jesus' mission to evangelize the whole world through baptism and the preaching of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. Pentecost is the pouring out of the promised Holy Spirit on all people, just as the prophet Joel had spoken before. Pentecost is the proof that Jesus is who he says he is, and that he does what he says he will do. Pentecost is the undoing of the Tower of Babel and all the mixed up languages, for now the different tongues and cultures do not matter. There is one Spirit, one Word, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all. God's language and his culture are all encompassing. They are universal. And his salvation is for everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord. Of all the things that we learn about God and his church and about ourselves on this day of Pentecost, the foremost is that it is the Holy Spirit, through the simple preaching of the word concerning Jesus, that does the work of growing the church, growing in wisdom and in knowledge, in faith and in the fear of the Lord, and sometimes even growing numerically too. It's not gimmicks and slick marketing campaigns, but the simple word. It's not the pastor's rugged good looks or his vestments, but the simple preached word. This preached word convicts you of all your sins, teaches you that you are a poor, miserable sinner, just as God has said. And then this same word points you to Jesus, to his cross and death and resurrection from the dead. It pronounces God's mercy and forgiveness for sinners. Jesus has not left us or abandoned us, but exactly as he has promised, he is present with us in his word and sacraments to the very end of the age. Pentecost is not God's plan B. It's not a new start. Jesus did not fail in the work that his Father gave him to do. The sending of the Holy Spirit and the public preaching of Jesus' cross and death and resurrection from the dead is how God converts the world. The sending of his Spirit is for the benefit of his people. This is how he has converted you to faith in his Son also. Each week we confess God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but we are led to know God in exactly the opposite order. First, by the preaching of the word, the Holy Spirit must work in us. Faith comes by hearing the word, Paul says. And as his word is preached and taught and heard in our ears, the Holy Spirit points us only to Jesus and to his work for our salvation, to his presence with us in these simple things, in the sacraments. Then Jesus says that if we know him, we know the Father. He also says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. We confess Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but the Spirit first teaches us Jesus. Jesus shows us the Father, and then the Trinity dwells within us. That's what happened on that first Pentecost. The Spirit converted thousands on that day by the preaching of the word. And by the preaching of the word, he has done the same thing to you again today. Every time you hear God's word preached, something happens within you. It may be rebellion against his word, but when the Spirit is at work, it is faith in his word, trusting what God says as true. His preached word is powerful not because it is a word of man that is given some crafty meaning. It's powerful not because it's spoken eloquently. It is powerful because it is the Holy Spirit's word. And it is the Holy Spirit working to convert and give life. I stand before you and preach and teach and baptize, absolve and feed and serve. But it is God's Spirit who converts and washes and forgives and heals and strengthens and gives eternal life. There's no great rushing wind that comes out of heaven, no tongue of fire. But this is still a Spirit-filled, powerful, life-giving, eternal word. It doesn't matter what you see with your eyes or what you feel in your heart about it. It matters what you hear and what you are caused to believe. Listen carefully then to this word. The Lord who created you and gave you life in your mother's womb still loves you and cares for you. He sent Jesus to die for your sins and to be your Savior from eternal death. He has washed you with His own precious blood, by His own hand. He has placed His name on you, and He has given you eternal life. He has not left you or abandoned you. He feeds you with His own life-giving body and blood. You are well loved, and all of your sins are forgiven. God's plan of salvation, where He does everything, and you just sit there and listen and receive, sounds entirely too good to be true. But it is true. Don't trust the gimmicks and the marketing of this world. Don't seek out their programs and lists and buy into their false teachings about Christ's church and what we must do to save it. For those things will not stand in the day when hell itself assails us, our hymn said. Nothing you have done can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Nothing that this world can do will stand up against Christ's church and be victorious. His church will endure, and so will all of those who call upon the name of the Lord in faith. Rejoice then, believers, and go in His peace. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen. Hi, this is Pastor Ryan Wendt. You've just listened to a sermon preached at Christ the King Lutheran Church in Billings, Montana. I hope that you heard God's law that reveals your sin and His precious gospel, the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ, that your sins are forgiven for His sake. These sermons are posted not as a replacement for gathering together with other believers around Christ's word and sacraments, but for our members who are away at school, at work in foreign countries, or who for some other reason are not able to be with us regularly. If you've been listening and do not have a church home, please consider contacting us through our website, and I will be happy to help you find a faithful congregation and pastor near where you live. Or if you're listening to us locally, why don't we get together for a few minutes and talk more about what we believe? If you'd like to support the work the Lord is doing through His Word in this congregation and in our community, please get in touch with me through our website. The Lord's richest blessings to you this week and always in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.